Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we're talking about practical Christianity. And we've been talking about red flags and looking for and being able to respond to those little checks about something doesn't sound right, but I'm not sure I'm supposed to, you know, do what this person is telling me or this teaching is, but something just doesn't fit right. And we've also talked previously about proactively questioning what we've been taught and what we think we know. We've kind of concluded, hopefully, that at least some of what we believe didn't come from based on experience. It was taught to us based on what was taught to someone else. This is unfortunately how we end up with beliefs that don't stand up to real life. We learn those life lessons in a couple of different ways. If we are proactive, we can value those life lessons and the values and the habits and the approaches to life from a basic learning standpoint. We test what we believe, see if it works, and if it doesn't work, change it. If we don't do that, we are often in the situation, where the only way we can learn these lessons is the hard way. Through a crisis, through a disaster in our lives, through making huge mistakes. So faced with that choice, and many of us never get the opportunity to be faced by that choice because we never hear anything different. One of the first things you think of when you think about, for instance, a Christian cult or any other kind of cult is a separation from the rest of the world. No communication with family, friends, or even what's going on in the world. Because there can be no opportunity for alternate information. Even in churches, I've talked to many people that if you don't agree with them, they really aren't interested. If you're not their denomination, if you don't go to even their church, they're not interested in what you have to say. There's a fear and indoctrination there that unless you adhere to what you've been taught, you will be deceived, or you can be deceived. That's not the way God does things. Jesus was very clear about taking in, even if you take in the unclean, it will not hurt you. It will not stick because you are clean. You don't need to be concerned about that because for you, you have access to truth, which is Him. So he will protect you from areas of deception or danger. That is his job. But if we don't have that confidence that he will take care of us, that he is reliable, or if we have the belief that he has transferred that responsibility to a book or a church, a group of people, we put that book or people before him. We allow interference. Now, God knows that. You know, he doesn't hold it against us. But he is also sending a great dissatisfaction to us, a hunger and a thirst. Unfortunately, so many of us are told, well, that hunger and thirst will only be satisfied after you die. So for most of our questions, there are ways of getting around answering them directly. You know, if you only believe, if you only have enough faith, you just have to have faith in your leaders. Well, since all of us are believing the same thing, it must be true. Or this is, you know, what's going to happen in heaven. We don't need to worry about it till then. Or this, you know, other doctrines about rapture and about end times. But if it doesn't bring you that dependence on God, that personal relationship, that's what really we're talking about when we're talking about Christianity, isn't it? Having a personal relationship with a personal God. And yet, when you experience hunger and thirst for him, you're given more doctrine. You're given more things to do. So we want to be clear about what our goals are. So for us, for Christians, and this is, again, where there's a distinction between unbelievers and believers. You can believe in heaven. You can believe in God without knowing him, without being a spirit being, without being born again. But for us, what is success? Now, for many of us, this is a pivotal question. Since we often derive our motivation based on how we think we're doing in terms of how successful we are, we want to know how we compare. If we're meeting an accepted standard, or even a standard we've created for ourselves, how are we doing? We could say that worldly success for unbelievers is measured in terms of what is produced, or how far you get in your job, or what you accomplish. Or, of course, how much money you have. So, achieving great things, recognition, like the Nobel Peace Prize, or the earning of great wealth, or even education. How many letters do you have after your name? Do people have to call you doctor? Worldly success can also be measured in terms of recognition for something you've done, or even the negative, something, a great crime you've committed. climbing Mount Everest, winning gold in the Olympics, or for some even recognition as a mass murderer, or going out in a blaze of glory, being recognized. And there is that deep need in us in some form or another that we want to be valued. We want to be recognized as a unique being. We can also view success for both Christians and non-Christians in terms of achieving and maintaining personal goals, such as being a good parent, being a good spouse, being a good minister or leader in the church, or even just in general, being a good Christian. You can see how in each one of these circumstances, success is variable. And if we're looking to these variables to define success for us, we are allowing our definitions of success to be determined by others. You know what? You know, once you've achieved the heights of any of these things, are you then a success and can go and retire? Or do you have to come up with a greater goal? Taking greater and greater risks or never being able to rest, but always needing a greater success. Now, for some, certainly, there's a huge, just the challenge is the satisfaction, and achieving that personal goal is satisfying. So we also transfer that and look at, as a Christian, how will you know when you've done enough to be successful? As a leader in a church, for instance, is it when you get to be pastor? This is one of the reasons there's so many church splits, is there comes an opportunity and someone who is dissatisfied being a follower sees an opportunity to be the leader. And that's their idea of success. Personal success. But likewise, is success measured in how many people we can get in this group or in this church? Or we're successful if we are financially well off. As a church, as a Christian. Or we've got so many souls saved, or can have so many attendees at our conferences, or so many books and CDs sold. But are those also comparable to success for non-Christians? Now, what is the true difference between being a Christian and being a non-believer? Is it measured around success in those terms? One of my little measuring sticks I like to use is, can a non-Christian do this? Can an unbeliever do this and be successful? And I've talked before about this, how one of the things that's been kind of a surprise for me is how many people, men and women, involved in leadership positions in different churches don't know how to talk to God. And some don't even have or haven't even had a salvation experience where they have been re-inspirited, born again as a spirit being, one in God, one in Christ. But they've gone to seminary. They've gone through the school, the Christian school, even these supernatural schools. You don't have to be a Christian to do that. And I know that may be a surprise for some of you. But the supernatural, we all have supernatural skills and abilities. You don't have to know God to learn how to exercise those. So one of the ways to stop and think is what you're being told to do. Can a non-Christian do it? And if the answer is yes, it is not a spiritual exercise. There's no success, spiritual success, tied to it. So our measure of success, for instance, building a church, you don't have to be a Christian to do that. All you need to be is a good marketer. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people out there. With the tax laws such as they are, and people hungry as they are, and people willing to put their trust in someone just because they claimed that they are speaking for God. But they don't test what they're being taught objectively in their own lives. So, for Christians, what is success? What is spiritual then? Spiritual success. True Christian success for you and I is measured in radically different terms than what we've just been talking about, what the church most often describes. It's not about reading your Bible. It's not about having a good marriage. It's not about giving to the poor. The poor you shall always have with you. For Christians, for you and I, our success is simply actively depending on God to live His life in and through us on His terms. It's being fully connected to Him, fully receiving everything He has and everything He is into us, and allowing Him to be the God. Now that involves training and being involved with Him. But our success is going to be measured much more on an internal basis. And what we'll find is what it looks like is totally different maybe than what we're expecting. Success is our true nature, our spirit nature, working its way out into our soul and our body under His conditions. On His terms, the way He chooses for each one of us. Success is not about our spiritual relationship with God, because your spiritual relationship with God is complete. and you and I and anyone else in God, there is no success because there is no change. There is no variety. We are all equally one in Him. So there is no achievement. There are no goals in the Spirit. Because there is nothing that is incomplete. There is nothing that needs to be achieved. This is perfection. This is holiness. This is the spirit realm. But we've got the supernatural or the soulical realm, the natural realm to deal with. And this is where those areas where we will see the change is bringing the spirit, allowing the spirit to flood into the soulical, the supernatural realm, and the natural realm. It's about our soulical and natural walk for this time here on this earth. It is not about spiritual attainment, achieving a state of spirituality or transcendence, but about soulical and physical dependence and wholeness. One of God's great goals for us, which is where our success lies, is that we would be complete, entire, and whole, spirit, soul, and body, which means our success as Christians is tied to being healed. So what does success look like? For the world and for non-believers, and unfortunately for some believers, success is outwardly measurable. But for the Christian, for you and I, it will often be much more subtle. In some ways, success will be a very private thing between each individual and God. In terms we're all familiar with, the outward evidence of a successful Christian walk will be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are gifts of God, which are now part of your spiritual nature. But as they permeate your soul and your body, they will be outwardly evident to others as well. So what these look like to others and to ourselves will vary, will be different from person to person. And they will often vary depending on what particular circumstance God has placed each of us in at any particular time. Because He's dealing with us, He's training us, He's healing us in a different area at different times. He may bring a group together with a common area of need for overcoming. A particular kind of wound needing to be healed. And then perhaps there's that expectation that you've bonded with that group, that you're going to stay with that group. Because if you've shared that experience, certainly the next experience is going to be shared as well. But that's just not the case. That's God's choice. Whatever He has next for you needs to come from Him. So a person, a Christian, can appear to be depressed, anxious, angry, fearful, or may have just failed at a job, lost a relationship, and yet be totally successful. Because in doing that, or maybe even the result of doing that, he is not relying on his own strength to deal with these things. But because he's relying on the Lord, and the Lord has allowed these things to happen. That is probably one of the more difficult expressions for us to cope with of success, when it looks like the exact opposite of what we expected. But Jesus dying on the cross was a tremendous success. Adam and Eve falling, or being lowered, as the real phrase is, being separated and dying spiritually, that was success. Because it was God's plan. This is an incredible mind shift for many of us, but one that needs to be made. Since our desire for success and our basis for evaluating success often drives us away from the very thing, from the very reliance on God, from the very circumstances that provide true success for each one of us. When we allow others to define success for us, we become vulnerable to manipulation, using that success, that desire for success, the definition of success, to their own ends. We become vulnerable to manipulation from leaders. We become vulnerable to attack from the enemy. And we become vulnerable to our flesh. Of course, God knew that. So that's not a fear we have. But we recognize that, okay, I missed it. Where am I relying on my own strength? Where am I relying on someone else to define my spiritual life, success? So we need to be careful when evaluating or objectively judging either ourselves or others as to what success looks like. And I'm sure you run into it yourselves. When trying to deal with a situation, even in the natural, and someone uses God to get out of being held responsible. We use that all the time when somebody does something wrong, a Christian does something wrong, and we try to hold them accountable for it. And they say, well, God forgives me, so should you. Or they won't talk to you about the issue because you're not a believer like they are. So the point is we want to have a clear understanding of what God says success is for us. Don't let others define it. Don't let others define your relationship with God and your purpose for being here on this earth. That's it for this morning. We'll be getting back together again 7:30 tomorrow morning. Talk about getting healed. Till then, have a great day. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Thanks for tuning in.